Herbert. The quivering of the living entity, as described above, is due to the senses. Since the entire material existence is meant for sense gratification, the senses are the medium of material activities, and they cause the quivering of the steady soul. Therefore, these senses are to be detached from all such material activities. According to the impersonalist, the senses are stopped from work by merging the soul in the supersoul Brahman. The devotees, however, do not stop the material senses from acting, but they engage their transcendental senses in the service of the transcendence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In either case, the activities of the senses in the material field are to be stopped by cultivation of knowledge, and if possible, they can be engaged in the service of the Lord. The senses are transcendental in nature, but their activities become polluted when contaminated by matter. We have to treat the senses to cure them of the material disease, not stop them from acting as suggested by the impersonalist. In Bhagavad Gita 2:59, it is said that one ceases all material activities only when satisfied by contact with a better engagement. Consciousness is active by nature and cannot be stopped from working. Artificially stopping a mischievous child is not the real remedy. The child must be given some better engagement so that he will automatically stop causing mischief. In the same way, the mischievous activities of the senses can be stopped only by better engagement in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the eyes are engaged in seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, the tongue engaged in tasting prasad or remnants of foodstuffs offered to the Lord, the ears are engaged in hearing His glories, the hands engaged in cleaning the temple of the Lord, the legs engaged in visiting His temples, or when all the senses are engaged in transcendental variegatedness, then only can the transcendental senses become satiated and eternally free from material engagement. The Lord, as the Supersoul residing in everyone's heart and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world far beyond the material creation, is the seer of all our activities. Our activities must be so transcendentally saturated that the Lord will be kind enough to look upon us favorably and engage us in His transcendental service. Then only can the senses be satisfied completely and be no longer troubled by material attraction. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashyata Deshatarine. I beg for permission from all the Vaishnavas present here and online. And I also seek your blessings that hopefully I will be able to at least repeat what I have heard from our acharyas. And And thus, I will be able to purify myself, and I hope I can repeat something that is useful for all of the devotees assembled. Thank you. So yes, this chapter is further questions by Vidura, and we've seen in the previous few verses that Maitreya Rishi is he's answering whatever questions have been put forth by Vidura. He's been explaining, and we've heard from our previous speakers about the quivering nature of the living entity in this world. Suchirani, I think. Yeah, she explained very nicely about the quivering nature. Quivering nature means the unsteady nature. And the living entity becomes unsteady because of the influence of the senses. Devotees of the Lord are very, very compassionate and concerned about all the conditioned souls. So we can see here Vidura is very disturbed. How is it that the activities of the living entity is leading to misfortune and misery? We've heard in the previous verses how Vidura is asking these questions. And we learned that because the living entity misidentifies himself, he is in distress. Right? In the purport, Prabhupada has said this in the previous verses. The separated parts and parcels of the Lord entangled in the water of material existence have the quivering quality. Just like the reflection of the moon in the water also quivers, where actually the moon is not moving. So it is simply because the living entity misidentifies himself, does not know who he actually is. That is why he is always in distress. However, Maitreya Muni is giving us hope that all is not lost. Yes, we are in the material world. We are quivering because of the unsteady nature that we are under the influence of our senses, modes of material nature. However, all is not lost. And yesterday, His Grace Godrama Bihari Prabhu, we heard from him that how the misconception of identity can be diminished. Does anybody remember how it can be diminished? Perhaps he spoke about it in his class yesterday. Yes? Yes, yes. So, the misidentification of the self can only be destroyed, as Govinda Prabhu rightly said, by Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga can be performed in the association of devotees. And when we are performing Bhakti Yoga in the association of devotees, we are hoping and begging for the mercy of the Lord. And it's so apt that we are speaking about this because, we all know we are coming every morning, most of us, Kartik month, coming to offer the candle to Damodar. And we can see in the Damodar Leela, yes, there is the endeavor and all of us have to endeavor. All of us have to try. However, unless we get the mercy of the Lord, we will not be able to be successful, no matter what we do, no matter how much we try. And the success also depends on when we are performing bhakti. It says that, and we've heard this many times, that if we want to walk fast, we can walk alone. But if we want to walk far, we must walk together. Performing of devotional service or bhakti yoga, it doesn't say anywhere that you cannot do it alone. But if you want to walk far, you need to do it in the association of devotees. And that is why we all gather together every time, in the temple. And we try to serve Radha Gokulanand, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. So today, in this verse, it is mentioned, Yatendriya Paramotha. The indriyas, the senses, can attain satisfaction when... So the next line says, Drashtratmani Pare Harau. When the senses are merged, Prabhupada says merged. It doesn't mean that you join together. Merged as in absorbed, fixed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, and then what happens? What happens when your senses are absorbed? Viliyante tada klesha. When the senses are properly absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the miseries, klesha, what happens to all the miseries? Samsuttaseva krishnastaha. All the miseries will be vanquished. Right? So as soon as our misidentification with our body is diminished, so what Maitreya Muni essentially is saying here is that when the senses are completely fixed, absorb in the Supreme Lord, then the suffering disappears completely. Right? So the analogy that is used in this particular verse is very interesting. Samsuttaseva Krishna Saha. Samsuttasya means one who has enjoyed sound sleep. Eva, like. Krishna Saha means completely. So all of us must have experienced that when we have very sound sleep, nice sleep, no matter how much we are suffering mentally, physically, sometimes with ailments, sometimes, you know, loss of friends or family or, you know, losses in your business or physically going through, you know, illnesses, pains. But if you are able to sleep, go into this deep, sound sleep, all of these sufferings are vanquished, right? That is why Prabhupada sometimes says that, you know, when you go to sleep, you're almost like, you know, you can give the example, or you can think of it as kind of being dead. You wake up, you know, suddenly like that. So when we are in deep sleep, all of the suffering is vanquished. And exactly like that, same way, if our indriya, yada indriya, if we can absorb our indriyas in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we stop misidentifying our body. We understand who we actually are. We understand what is our relation with Krishna. We also understand what we should be doing. And then the sufferings is completely vanquished. It doesn't say just diminished. It is completely vanquished. So Maitreya Rishi is actually giving us a very practical solution to a common problem. And what is the common problem? Suffering. Suffering is due to misidentification. Misidentification is due to being under the control of our senses or trying to enjoy our senses. So Maitreya Rishi is giving us the solution, and the solution is that we have to try to be able to absorb our senses in devotional service, right? So all our senses generally come under two very strong emotions, raga and dvesha. What is raga? Attachment. Dvesha? Aversion. If you will try to categorize all of your thoughts, your feelings, your senses, they will come under these two strong emotions, raga and dvesha. So there is attachment, or there is repulsion, there is hatred, there is detachment. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there is this very beautiful verse, 2.64. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyascharan atma visher vidhetyatma prasadam adigacchati. And the translation says, but a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of Lord. Right? So what Prabhupada is saying in that verse and other places also is that as soon as the senses come under the influence of these two forces, raga and dvesha, there is chance of fall down. Yeah, Prabhupada says that in his verse. So attachments and aversion, both can cause the soul to fall down. Right? So raga is okay, we are attracted to things that will satisfy us. But the problem is, those things, there is, it's never ending. I might think that today I want to achieve this, or I want to, you know, get this, and I will be satisfied. So my attachment today is for a particular thing. Tomorrow it might be for something else. And the day after it will be for something else. So that, what we are trying to do is, we are trying to obtain what we desire, because we think that when we obtain what we desire, our feelings of pleasure will be fulfilled. However, the feelings of pleasure very quickly fade away. I'm sure we all must have experienced this, right? I want something. Let's say I want the latest iPhone. I don't know why I always give the example of the iPhones. Maybe deep within, that's what I want. I don't know. Anyways, so perhaps I want the latest iPhone, right? And I get it. I get the latest iPhone. Trust me, within six months and another year, when another new iPhone is launched, you know, my mind is telling me this, you know, the one that I have is suddenly going slow. It doesn't have as much memory. Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki, Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Kaunatai ki, Jai Yashoda Damodar ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. So what it is we want something because it was pleasant yesterday or at some point in the past. Once we get it, once we've received it, we've, you know, achieved whatever we want to, tomorrow we no longer are attached to it. Tomorrow our attachment changes, right? Likewise, when we think about dvesha, dvesha is of course the opposite of raga, which is aversion. Aversion to anything that is unpleasant. It could be anything, it also could be unpleasant experiences. Because we have experienced something in the past which we did not like, so we want to try and avoid that. Because we think that it will cause pain to us again. So constantly this, we are constantly, the mind, you know, is juggling between this raga and dvesha. You know, and unless we get out of this, we will not be able to come out of the misidentification of the body. Because raga and dvesha is based on what? Based on what my body wants, what my mind wants, right? And that is why it, you know, when we actually understand that I am not this body, and we start thinking about who I actually am, and then try to see, okay, the real me, what does the real me want? And I have a question for all of you. We are talking about here raga and dvesha, so we are talking about dualities. And we are saying how we need to rise above the dualities, right? But again, in our scriptures, it is said that if we want to progress in our spiritual life, we also have to, you know, identify with these dualities and then do something about it. Like in the Nectar of Instruction, it says, those things which are favorable for your spiritual journey or for Krishna consciousness, become attached to them, but avoid the things that are not favorable. So the point is that on one side, we are talking about how rise above dualities. We are talking about these dualities in the material sense. In the material world, in the material sense, when we realize or identify that my body or my mind is being attached to something or does not like something because of what it does to me as a human being, as this body, I have to rise above it. I have to try and see how I can engage my senses, like Prabhupada says, in the purport, in transcendence, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, when we are performing our Krishna conscious activities, at that time, and we are not talking about pure devotees here, I'm talking about myself, somebody who is a neophyte, who has just started her journey in Krishna consciousness, it is very important that we identify these dualities in our Krishna conscious world. Because if we are not able to do that, like the Nectar of Instruction says, that if we are not able to get attached to activities that are favorable to Krishna conscious and stay away from activities that are not favorable, then this small little bhakti lata bij which I have just planted will not thrive and will not grow like that. Yeah. So some example that we've heard many times, and Prabhupada uses this in his class, is that a child may like to play and dislike studying. But as parents, we'll always guide the child that, you know, yes, we know you don't like studying, but that does not mean that you can play 24/7, because that will not give you the ideal result that you want. So we have to balance it out, right? It does not mean that you only ask the child to study, because when we don't balance our senses, then what happens is we get angry, right? So when the senses are not satisfied, we start getting angry. And when we start getting angry, then it leads to degradation. And we don't need to go into the detail of that, because we all know, and I'm sure we all must have experienced in our day-to-day life what happens. Prabhupada says in his purport, the devotees do not stop the material senses from acting, but they engage their senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Now, interestingly, each individual, each one of us, will have, you know, according to our own understanding and according to our own calculations, we'll have our own understanding of what is good and what is bad. What I may think is good for me perhaps is not good for you. Or what I may think is bad for me may not be bad for you. Because the reason being, we all are individuals. We all have our independent thinking. And this good and bad sometimes can be very, very subjective. You know. And one of our very well-known ISKCON speakers explained this. He explains this very nicely. His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu actually explains it. If there is an electrical fence around a building and our treasure is within that building and we are also inside that building, then we will see the fence as our protection. But if we think that everything we want is outside the building, then the fence will look like deprivation. Right? So ultimately it depends on what our goal is. If our goal is material sense enjoyment, then all the rules and regulations in Krishna consciousness will look like deprivation. But if we understand that our goal is devotional service and our goal is to develop Krishna prem or love for Krishna, then the fence or the rules and regulations act as protection. And this is so true, because I know, I don't know whether you all experienced it, but I personally experienced it and still do. Not all my family members are Krishna conscious. And some are completely opposite, completely opposite. So when we speak, whenever we meet, you know, they're my siblings. Obviously, you know, we have relation. We can't just, you know, get rid of them. So when we speak sometimes, you know, and they look at our lifestyles, because there are so many rules and regulations that we have. Don't do this and don't do this and do this and do this. On the other hand, according to them, according to how they are fulfilling their material senses, they are enjoying life. You know, they've got the best of everything. They're enjoying life. Whereas we, they feel, oh my God, your life is so austere. So if you take the example of what Chaitanya Charan Prabhu is saying, the reason is we are within this building compound. What we want is within the compound. So the fence of the rules and regulations for us is actually attractive. It is, we are attached to these rules and regulations. For somebody who is outside, they may think that this fence of rules and regulations is just too much and it is not right. So it's again how we look at things and how we want things, right? Prabhupada then goes on to explain that, and this is very nicely, he says that, you know, just stopping a mischievous child and saying, don't do this, is not effective. Rather than saying, don't do this, the better way, and I'm sure parents here must have experienced, you know, telling the child, stop doing is going to make him do it even more. rather than that saying, why don't you do this? You know, so Prabhupada is using the same, he's actually calling our senses and identifying our senses to a mischievous child. He actually uses the word, the mischievous activities of the senses can be stopped only by better engagement, right? And he quotes this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopya asya param drishva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment through the taste for sense though the taste for sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So Prabhupada, in this today's class and many other places, he has even given us how we can engage our senses in the higher taste. And this is, I mean, most of you probably know this. We all hear about it. And yesterday also in his class, Gaudrama Bihari Prabhu was talking about and giving examples of who are those devotees who've been able to engage their senses, you know, 100% by following one or the other path of devotional service, right? Like there are 9 processes of devotional service and Prabhu went through in detail. But in today's purport, Prabhupada talks about how we can engage our mind, our hands, our legs and, you know, our tongue. And of course, straight away we think of one and only, yes, Jagat Priya Mataji, one and only Maharaj Ambarish, right? And so this very beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam, and I won't speak the Sanskrit because, yeah, it's quite long, but I'll just say the translation. And it says, Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna, his words in describing the glories of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the Lord's temple, and his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temples and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engaged his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of Tulsi offered to the Lord, and he engaged his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasad. He engaged his legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord, his head in bowing down before the Lord, and all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. So Prabhupada and Maitra Muni, of course, Maitra Muni is giving us the solution to the problem that all of us have. Prabhupada is giving us a practical example. Not only has he given us a practical example, he has actually even set up all these centers so that we don't have to even worry about that. We come here to the temple and, you know, Maharaj Ambarish is able to engage 24/7. Most of the devotees who live here are also able to do that. Some of us who live outside and are grihastha perhaps are not able to engage our senses 24/7, although we try. I speak for myself. I'm not able to do it. But at least we know that we have this place where we can come, associate with devotees, you know, serve the lordships, engage our senses like that. And when we do that, then obviously the misidentification of our body will completely vanquish, and that way our miseries will vanquish, because dualities is because we are identifying with this material body. As soon as we realize that we are not this body, but we are the soul, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, just like how the super soul is, you know, and then we work towards that. We work towards how we connect to the super soul. So just to summarize today's verse, all our problems is because of misconception. That misconception can be diminished by the mercy of the Lord. Mercy can be attained by performing devotional service in association of devotees. When the misidentification is diminished, the senses will become fixed, absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the senses are fixed, all our miseries are vanquished. So very hope-giving verse. As usual, Srimad Bhagavatam always gives us hope. You know, we don't feel. Sometimes, I speak for myself, sometimes devotional service or Krishna consciousness, the standards are so high that I always find myself falling short. And then there are days when I feel really hopeless. But you know, then again, associating with devotees and studying the Bhagavatam fills me with hope someday. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If you have any corrections or comments, all senior devotees are here. Please.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
While listening to you, something came to my mind. So, when we do devotional service, and our mind becomes free from raga and dvesha, that time wisdom arises. And wisdom is what you were saying, that wisdom is that tells us what we need to keep and what we need to let go. And that naturally gives us space where we are able to disintegrate with things that are not important in our life.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. That's exactly what Krishna consciousness does. And that is why when we are preaching on, when we are trying to speak about this to other, we say to them, the proof is in the pudding. I can tell you how sweet the pudding is. But unless you taste it, you cannot experience it. And that is why you have to taste it. So yes, you're right. As soon as we start performing devotional activities, we ourselves are, our mind, our heart, our soul aligns itself to what is right. And then whatever is not needed, we just, you know, just let it go. And it is discarded without any feeling of, attachment, or without any feeling of sadness. That's something that I had for so many, many years, perhaps lifetimes. But I'm very easily able to discard it because my senses are now engaged in higher things like that.
On the other hand, when we are with attachment and aversion, they gives us confusion.
Yes.
And then we don't know what to keep, yes, and what to let go.
Yes.
So this is,
yeah. Yes. Krishna consciousness is showing us the path if we are able to follow. Yes. Prayojan Prabhu wants to speak or? No, sorry. Okay. We thought you want to say something. Okay. That's okay. Any other comments or realizations that anybody wants to share? Okay. If not, then we'll stop here. It is time for breakfast now. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bye.